2011 presents some special opportunities. There's the opportunity of a new hospital opening, which I know many of you are involved in. God bless us in that. For our school, the opportunity of having new students arriving. And for our church, again, God willing and with His aid, a new sanctuary to serve Him from and new souls to be led to Christ. A new beginning for all of us. With reflection, we analyze the years that have come and gone and how we have arrived and where we are, and we remember fondly all those who have helped us along the way. And I find myself this new year asking myself one primary question. How long, O Lord? How long before doors open and new faces are welcomed in? How long will this world endure? How long before the Savior comes and makes all earthly concerns redundant? How long? It is a question of prophets and angels and psalmists. The courts of heaven ring with the inquiry as it really is, which is as a plea. We had it in our scripture reading this morning in Psalm 6, verses 3 and 4. David says, "My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love." There's some imagery of heaven regarding this that's presented in the book of Revelation. And in the image, the real and the symbolic are kind of mixed together, and the result is something like a parable. If you look at it with me there in Revelation, the 8th chapter, Revelation 8, verses, we'll look at verses 2 through 5 here. Verse 2, it says, "And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel, who had a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne." So this is the altar of incense. And the smoke of it represents the prayers of all God's children that rise up in His presence. Verse 4, "The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of the saints went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, and flashes of lightning, and an earthquake." It's a stunning scene. The Seventh-day Adventist Church historically has taken the position that this scene represents the end of the ministrations for mankind, the close of human probation, and the cumulative answer to all the prayers ends up happening here with the coming of the Lord returning to this world. Before all of this happens, though, another vision, another scene is shown to John that happens at this exact spot. Let's flip back to that for a second. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 6, verse 9, something happens a bit before this. It says, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained." Now, all the scenes of God's throne are glorious and they're beautiful. But I've heard this spoken of before and interpreted in kind of dark ways, as though there was some kind of a trap door there by that altar of incense and these anguished souls are trapped beneath. If you've heard that, just push that aside, because that is not what is happening here. We saw from Revelation 8 that this is talking about the altar of incense there in front of the God's throne, that the prayers of God's children are rising up there before Him. This is a beautiful scene. It tells us that the prayers of all the ages remain in God's presence. The memory of the very first prayer offered by Adam and by Eve The memory of those prayers remain as fresh to God as the prayers that were said by our little ones this morning in Sabbath school. Our Father in heaven has not lost track of even one prayer that's been offered. They are pictured here as all arising at once. Look at that again, verse 9 through 11. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. He called out in a loud voice, they called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been was completed. In this image, the collective prayers of all those who have suffered for righteousness' sake are pictured as calling up in one voice asking, "How long, O Lord? How long?" Their sacrifices call up to God, as did Abel's blood when his brother Cain had killed him. Remember what the Lord had said to Cain? He said, "Your brother's blood calls out to me from the ground." The memory of these faithful souls are like a monument, a memorial to God. They are always in his presence and saying, "How long, O Lord?" And then Revelation 8 comes along and it gives the answer. A time when a voice from heaven says, "It is done," and the censer is cast to this earth, and the Lord comes back because he said, "That's it. It's finished." What is this monument, this memorial of the altar of entrance? What is it really saying to God? What is it representing to him? What's behind those questions, those appeals of how long? Well, there are two things that happen. When time finally runs out, when the time arrives to bring things to a close, the first thing is, well, justice comes, and that's the simple thing. The wicked pay for their wickedness. The second thing, though, is the most important thing. That's what the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are really after. It's what happens next here is what they, the Trinity, have been anxious to do since Abel died. And that is to give a positive answer to all the sweet prayers that have been offered up to heaven from little children, even the stressful prayers of grown people. And give these faithful children that they love the reward that they have planned for them. The Lord wants to bring his children home. That's what the memorial of the altar of incense says to God. It's like a promise of what's coming. The Lord has been careful through the centuries to give us monuments and memorials to inspire us. There was Joshua's great witness stone set up at Shechem. There were the rocks that were stacked by the Jordan River to remind the Israelites of the crossing. Mount Carmel and Mount Zion. Even the Mount of Olives and the Sea of Galilee and Bethlehem function in this way. Places where he told our spiritual forefathers, "Bring your children, bring your grandchildren, and say to them, look, our people were right there, and then God did this great thing here." He did this to keep hope in front of us. It's funny how we as humans are drawn to monuments and to memorials. The attraction we feel to them is part of the divine trait that's still embedded in humanity. It's one of God's own characteristics that's still present in the human heart. The new year, like the Sabbath, is a monument in time. It draws us to reflection and a vision. It's a call to push us to seek a new beginning. O Lord, create us anew this day.